was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
How wonderful this child divine, to think the life I hold is mine. How wonderful his love for me. How wonderful is Jesus. How wonderful this gift of love sent down to me from heaven above.
How wonderful to see his face. How wonderful is Jesus. How wonderful that God would come and give to me his only son. How wonderful his love to me. How wonderful is Jesus. How wonderful is Jesus. I love him, for he is mine. I love him, for he is divine. I love him forever and ever. This Jesus, God's gift to me. I love him, for he is mine. I love him, for he is divine. I love him forever and ever. This Jesus, God's gift to me. I'll love him forever and ever. This Jesus, God's gift to me.
Well, thank you for that beautiful special. If you would take your Bibles with me, and we'll turn to Luke in chapter 2 this morning, Luke 2, and we'll begin reading of verse number 1. When you find your place there, if you'd please stand to your feet with me out of reverence for the Word of God. Luke in chapter 2, and we'll read the first 7 verses this morning. If we could read responsively, I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and we'll go all the way down to verse 7. We'll read that all together. Verses 1 through 7. You take the even numbered, I'll take the odd numbered, and we'll read those all together, verses 1 through 7. Luke and chapter 2. I'll read verse 1, you come in on verse 2. Let's read this. The Bible says in Luke 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed."
This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
"And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child."
"And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your word. Lord, we're grateful that we get to be in church and to have such a wonderful and amazing God that you are. Lord, we thank you. I ask now that we would put all distractions, anything that would be heavy on our minds, help us to be able to put those things aside, to focus on the message that you have for us. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Lord, please guide him in his words and his thoughts and use him in a mighty way. Bless us now. Meet with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we begin, I want to make a couple of quick announcements before we get to the message. If you could help me with a couple of things. If you have a cell phone, help us out when you come to church. Just go ahead and silence that, turn it off. That'll be a help. If you're not sure, you can check it right now, or again, hand it to a teenager. They know what to do with it. Even three-year-olds, it's amazing. You hand it to them, and they're doing stuff. You're like, I didn't even know my phone could do that. And so help me out with that. Next is, if you could help me, I don't know if it's more during the holidays, but if you make sure, if you just need water, if you need that to bring in the auditorium, otherwise, if you want to keep the food and drinks out, that'd be helpful. For those cleaning up afterwards as well. So we'll get the announcements out of the way for that. Luke chapter 2, to me, is one of the most special chapters in the whole Bible. I love reading this chapter over and over again during the Christmas season, and it gives more of an account, if you will, of Jesus' birth. You see his birth listed in a few different places in Matthew chapter 1, and Luke chapter 2, and John chapter 1, a few other scripture verses as well. But in Luke 2, you see here how Joseph and Mary, as they were espoused or engaged, betrothed, not yet married, but they were preparing to. And there was a taxing made, and they were supposed to go to their hometowns. And so Joseph, being from Bethlehem, would have to travel back to Bethlehem, as everyone would have to go to their hometowns. This was about a 70 to 80 mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which would be a long journey, but on top of that, Mary being great with child, I'm sure it made it a bit of a longer journey. They didn't have self-driving cars and Ubers and plane rides, any of that. And how they got there, we don't exactly know. We assume that she rode on some kind of an animal, a donkey or whatnot, and going to Bethlehem. Either way, it would have taken them, if they traveled 10, 12 miles a day, it would have taken them about a week to get there. Unless if they went on the long journey and Joseph said, "We're not stopping, we're going, and we're not going to stop till we get there." As I think most men do. Do you count it like you get like a gold star or something somewhere if you make it there without stopping? I think so. My family doesn't enjoy it as much. And they traveled to Bethlehem, and as they go to Bethlehem, and as many others would go to their hometowns, and so this little town of Bethlehem was now flooded with people from out of the area, this town. And there's I saw a couple reports that maybe it was around 600 people up to a couple thousand, but not very big. And all of a sudden, I'm sure there's thousands of people coming back, we don't exactly know, coming back to be taxed. And that's not something you want to think about during the holiday time. And on top of that, being great with child. And so they take this journey to go to Bethlehem. Mary being great with child, and the Bible says that while she was there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I always picture in my mind, and maybe you've seen the stories, that the night that they showed up, she had the baby. But the Bible seems to say here that while she was there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. There must have been some kind of period of time that passed while they were there during the census and the taxes that would be given out and to be collected there. And so they head back to Bethlehem, and as they go around and they're looking, and I'm sure they made the journey slower than others. You could imagine as they got there and the place was crowded and packed and people everywhere. And I can imagine Joseph thinking, we'll put this in modern day vernacular, I should have reserved ahead. I should have known. I should have called. There was none of that in that day. And as I'm sure they went around and maybe knocked on doors, do you have any room for us? No room. Maybe they had a sign out front, no vacancy. And so they went around and they went knocking and looking, and is there any place for us to stay? And there's no room here. No room. Keep trying. As I'm sure they exhausted every place they could find. And as Joseph, I could imagine, would say, I must find a place for Mary and for Jesus who would be born. Mary and Joseph were given the announcement that they would have the Savior that would be born. I'm sure back home they had things getting ready for the Savior to be born there, but they would know that he would be born in Bethlehem. But this was not exactly as they planned or hoped that things would go during this time, and there was no room anywhere. So as they looked around and says there's no room in the inn, and the shepherds would be given the message from the angels that they would find the babe, Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You wouldn't find many babies wrapped in swaddling clothes. They were strips of cloth that you would swaddle a baby in, but laying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Not exactly what you would picture, ladies, for the first place to lay your child, much less the Son of God. And as he was placed there in that manger, and the shepherds would then be given that announcement that if they went to Bethlehem and they would travel there, and they would be there. The wise men weren't there. They would come later on, not that night, and probably around when he was 2 years old. Our manger scene, the manger scenes usually get that wrong. Just want to put more people in the story, I guess. But as Joseph and Mary and Jesus there in that manger, why did they end up there in that stable in the manger? How did they end up there? Because in verse number 7, it says, and Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, could you imagine being great with child and the child's coming and there's no place for you to go? And when an expectant mother asks for something, you get her whatever she wants, right? Whatever she wants to eat, whatever she wants to stay. But this was not be the place. There was no room for them in the inn. In a humble manger, in a humble stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, shepherds given the announcement for them to come and find him here because there was no room for them in the inn. As you think of this passage today, would the innkeepers have had any idea of knowing that this was the Savior that was about to be born? Maybe they told him, maybe not. We're not exactly sure of that. We don't know that anyone else knew other than Joseph and Mary at this time that they would have this child, the Son of God, to be born. And as they came to the inn, I could only imagine being Joseph there and begging and pleading. And maybe he would tell them, I'm telling you, my child is special, different, unlike any other child that will be born. Do you please have a room? I'll pay you extra. We'll sleep anywhere. And the Bible says there was no room in the inn. I feel like the same is true today as it was back in, that there in many people's lives today, there's no room for Jesus. It seems that many people are so filled up with all the other things that they have to do. People have their everyday life things to do, and they had the taxes to be paid, and they had family stuff to take care of. They had money to make, maybe, and there was no room for the Savior. You know, it's sad, even during the Christmas time, that many people don't make room for Jesus. We get our holiday season so filled up with everything else and the decorations, and I'm all for the decorations and the Christmas cookies, and I'm 100% for the Christmas cookies. And I'll try to get it in every service. I think I'm doing 100% on it right now. I'm all for it, the presents and the fun and the family traditions. I'm good for all of that, but never in place of Jesus. Now again, did they know this was a Savior that was going to be born? We're not sure. I can't put that in the story whether or not it would be, but there was no room for the Savior. May it not be said for us today that there's no room for Jesus. Too busy, too full, too many things going on in life. We live busy lives. many times busier than I believe that God would intend us to have. Busy running out everywhere, doing all the things, and many times even as Christians, having a hard time finding a place to spend time in Bible and prayer and going to church and spending time with the Lord, or maybe just stopping to think about the Savior. So my question for you today is this: do you have room for Jesus during this Christmas time? Do you have room for Jesus? You made it here today. You made time out of your schedule to come on a Sunday morning to come to church. And as this Christmas time is and just a couple weeks away, let's make room for Jesus today. Number one, this morning, let's first of all make notice of Jesus. As I mentioned before, I could only imagine that Joseph would plead for a room and a place and somewhere nice for Mary to be and for the baby to be born, and there was no room anywhere, but that God provided a place for them in a stable. And it seems as you look through the accounts that maybe it was some kind of a cave. Wherever it was exactly, let's make notice of Jesus this morning. Maybe they noticed, maybe they didn't, but let's take notice of Jesus. Maybe they were unaware, or maybe they were unbelieving of the Savior. Either way, let's take notice of the Savior today. There was prophecy about Jesus' birth, but again, only the shepherds in the field will be announced by the angels that the Savior was being born that night, and they would get that special announcement and make their way to the Savior. The Savior has been born. We have the account in the Word of God. We believe it's true. So let's make notice of Jesus during this Christmas time. Let's not ignore Jesus. Let's not put presents in place of Jesus. Let's not put anything else at a higher importance level of Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 1, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Think about that. He came to the world that He created. He came and took on human flesh, which God created. And He took on human flesh made in the likeness of man. He came to this world that was made by Him, and the world, the Bible says, knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You know what's sad is that the God that made this world, the God that gave us the Word of God, that prophesied and miracles and all that God has done, that many times people don't even notice the Savior. Don't even acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God the Son of God, the Savior of all the world, has come to earth that night. Can you imagine being there that night? Could you imagine getting to see the Savior? Could you imagine, parents, if that was you that God had chosen for the Savior to be born in your home? What an incredible gift and responsibility that would be, that the Savior was born. Let's make notice of the Savior today. Make notice of the Savior. Jesus many times is forgotten during the holiday times. He's forgotten about. It's being replaced with Santa. I don't want to ruin anyone's dreams, but Jesus is real, the other's not, all right? You can fill in the blank on that one, all right? Jesus many times has been forgotten and many times is being replaced with a Santa Claus or another story or other fun things. I'm not against those things that are not, if they're not wicked and wrong, but Jesus should not be forgotten during this holiday time. He should not be forgotten any time during the year for that matter. Many times Jesus has been forgotten. Many times Jesus has been neglected. He's been neglected, just pushed to the side, and we're so busy with all the things in life that God will get around to you when I get a chance. That's the Savior that was born. That's Jesus Christ. That's Emmanuel. That's God with us. That's our Messiah. That's our Savior. How could we not make notice as a Christian of the Savior? Let's make the Savior big this Christmas time. Let's make big of the Savior. Let's make notice of Jesus Christ. Let's not let anyone take the Lord's place this Christmas time. The Bible does say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And anyone or anything that takes the place of God has become a lower G God in our lives. Let's not let the Savior be forgotten. Let's not let the Savior be neglected. And too many times Jesus has been rejected. Again, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected, many times the Jewish people by and large have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. May we not reject the Savior today. But you do know this, that God has given everyone a free will, that you can choose to accept or reject the Savior. You make notice of who the Savior is, that He is God the Son of God, the Savior of this world. Have you recognized Him as your Savior? Have you invited Jesus into your heart and into your life to be your Savior? Let's make notice of the Savior. Let's make notice of Jesus today. Number two, let's make room for Jesus. Again, I could imagine as Joseph went around, and not trying to add to the story, but you can imagine as he went around and said, someone's got to have room. Someone's got to have one room, some place, somewhere. Push people aside. You ever do that during the holidays? Family says, hey, we're all coming up to your house. And you're counting the number of beds, and you're thinking, someone's sleeping on the floor, and it's not me. And you find a place, there's a couch, there's a blow-up bed, we'll set up a tent in the backyard, whatever you got to do, and we'll find a place for everyone. I remember a specific Christmas that for some reason, all the family came to our house the night before Christmas and spent the night there. That was an adventure. There was kids sleeping everywhere, people all around the house. Remember, we set up the presents that morning, and they filled the room, all the cousins, aunts, and uncles, and grandparents, and even great-grandma was there. Still don't know why, other than she was small. We called her Teensy Grandma. That was her name. Don't know her real name. Teensy Grandma was there as well. I remember my grandfather and my dad got on the roof, and they shined the light down like Santa was there and ring some bells and all that, and we thought it was great. It was incredible. Did we have room for everyone? No. But we made it work. We made room. Will you make room for Jesus this Christmas time? Or does the Lord come to your life and say, I'd like to come in, and you say, no room today, maybe tomorrow. Come back another day. I'm busy right now. I mean, I've got a lot of important things to do. Is there anything or anyone more important than the Savior? Is there anything more important? Wouldn't you make room if the Savior came to your house today in human flesh and came to your house and said, I want to come in? You'd probably think like most of us, I wish I cleaned a little better. I wish we had some food ready, something. But I don't know about you. I think this might be the only time the Savior comes to my house. I'm going to let Him in. But as they came to the inn, there was no room for the Savior. My thought at that time, if I'm the innkeeper, if you know it's the Savior, any inclination, even it's an expectant mother, I'd say it's eviction time. Someone's out of here. You know, single guy, you're on the street somewhere, figure it out. We're making room for this couple. Make room for Jesus. I want to give you this thought about making room for Jesus. You have to invite Jesus inside. You have to invite Him inside. In Revelation 3, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Too many times Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart and our life and saying, I want to come in. I want to come in. But we're not acknowledging the knock on the door. It was last weekend and it was getting late at night. I think I told the Sunday school class, but we heard a knock at the door, and it was Saturday night and it was getting kind of late. And I thought, who's knocking on the door? And I thought, it's someone in the back of the house. And I'm like, I'm not in. And Charlotte says, I'll answer the door. I said, you're not answering the door in the dark of the night, not now or in the light. And I said, so I heard the doorbell ring, and I looked through the hole, and it was my sister and my brother-in-law and their kids. I was like, what are you doing here? But come on in, here you go. And they stood at the door knocking until finally I was like, is someone actually outside, or is that something I'm hearing? Welcomed them. They were passing through and had a good time with them for a little bit. Jesus is knocking at the door of hearts and lives today, but are you inviting Him in? Or are you saying, Jesus, maybe another day, another time, maybe another hour, I'll get around to you. He's standing at the door and knocking, waiting to come in. But many, again, are too busy and too full in their lives with jobs and works and activities and all this stuff in life. You know what, though? All this stuff in life, the stuff that doesn't really matter, won't matter for eternity. We have a great way in this day and age of getting our life full of activities and hobbies and stuff that we fill up and that we just say, you know what? And that people say, oh, I've been meaning to get around to church someday. I've been meaning to spend time with God and His Word, and I've been meaning to, but it's just so full with everything else. You have the same amount of time as anyone else does. and you're going to place the importance in your life for the Savior, or you're not. Will you invite the Savior inside? You have to make room for the Savior. You make room for those that you love, don't you? You make room for those that you love. Someone, a stranger knocks on my door at night, can I come in? You know, I love you in the name of Jesus Christ, but no, I'll find another place for you to stay maybe. Your family comes and you welcome them in, right? We'll figure out a way. We love you. You should have called or texted, but well, I guess we'll welcome you in still. You make room for those that you love. Do you love the Savior today? Do you love the Savior that came to die to pay for our sins, that we deserve that death on the cross? We deserve an eternity in hell, but the Savior took our place. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. God chose to love you whether or not you would ever love Him back. He chose to die and to pay for your sins whether or not you would ever accept Him or not. And He's knocking at the heart. He's knocking on your door. Can I come inside? But too many times we're too full, too busy. We've got our own ideas and opinions. Would you let the Savior inside? You make room for those that you want inside. Make room for Jesus in your heart this Christmas time for salvation. Maybe you don't know the Savior as your Savior. Maybe you don't know for sure if you died today that you will go to heaven. Let the Savior inside. You know what the greatest part about Christmas time is? We think of the gifts of Christmas. Any of you kids like gifts for Christmas? Any of you parents like gifts for Christmas? All right? If your spouse tells you, I don't want anything for Christmas, they're lying. They do want something for Christmas, all right? But the presents. You open that present, and you hope it's the present that you asked and wished for, right, kids? And you open it up, and you're like, I circled it. I sent them the link. I put it on the fridge. I pasted it on my wallpaper on my phone. If they didn't get the hint, then they have no hope. And you open that present, that gift, and it's so incredible, just what you wanted. Another iPhone. You know, that gift will fade. It will pass away. Next year, you may not even remember what you got the previous year. But the gift of the Savior, that gift of eternal life, the gift that keeps on giving eternal life, a home in heaven forever, that's a gift that you don't have to ever ask for again. That's a one-time gift bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have salvation. Not working at getting salvation, but you have it. Eternal life, secure, a home in heaven. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you welcome Him inside? That conviction of God on your heart, the prompting of God saying you don't know Him as your Savior. You may know Him here, but you don't know Him here. You welcome the Savior inside. Make room for Jesus in your heart. Make room for Jesus in your everyday life. Too many times we say, God, you get Sunday, but the rest of the days are mine. God, you get the church hours, but the rest of the hours are mine. Or even, and we should do this, and we should be in church and spend time reading your Bible in prayer, but may we not even come to our Bible in prayer and say, okay, I'm done with my Bible, now I get to get on with the rest of my day. Aren't you thankful you get to carry the Savior along with you? The Holy Spirit living in your heart that helps you and walks with you throughout each day. What a joy that is. Make room for Jesus today. Make room for the Savior today. And then thirdly, make known of Jesus. Make known of Jesus. I could only imagine if you were that one inn, and if you had welcomed the Savior in, and the Savior was born there, today you would still go to that inn. There'd still be a marker there in a place that the Savior was born, right here in this inn, and they'd want everyone to know about it. But guess what? There was a stable. There was a manger. Where it is, we don't know. But there is a manger that held the Son of God. Make known of Jesus. Let everyone else know about Jesus Christ. We're not going to get fully into that part of the story, but the shepherds would come. And they would come to worship the Savior and to bow down at the Savior's feet. And they would go around telling everyone that they saw the Savior. You know what, as a Christian today, you have the Savior in your heart. You know the Lord, He's in your life, but have you made Him known to others around you? Have you made known the Savior to those around you? The Lord is in your heart. He's changed your life, given you a home in heaven. The greatest thing that's ever been done to you and to me in my life is salvation. the gift of God, the Savior. This is the greatest event in human history, that God himself would leave heaven, that he would come to earth. Why? To set up as king, to rule and reign, to be worshiped by everybody? No. He came to be a servant. He came to take on human flesh, and he came to come and to die and to pay for our sins. He changed my life. He changed my life. He changed my eternity. I get to be a part of God's will for my life. I get to read God's word. I get to spend time with God in prayer. How could I not tell others about the Savior? But how many people, when they find Jesus, so to say, I found Jesus, but they don't want to go and tell anyone. You know what? When there's something done in your heart and in your life, you got to tell everyone about it. You get that gift at Christmas, that maybe that gift that is beyond what you could ever have imagined. I can imagine that you would take a picture, you'd send it to your relatives, that you'd post it online, you'd let everyone know, you'd wear it proudly, that someone that loves you got that most incredible gift, and you want everyone to know about it. You wouldn't want to hide it and keep it to yourself, but you'd want to let others see that, wouldn't you? Think about that with salvation. You carry with you the greatest gift, salvation, forgiveness. And that's something that we can take with us everywhere that we go, and we can tell the whole world about Jesus Christ. But how many times as Christians are we quiet? And we think, well, they probably don't want to hear about Jesus. They probably don't want to hear about the Savior. You know, they're probably busy. That's what I love about this Christmas time is people are very much in a extra joyous spirit. Now, not everybody, so you got to be careful of those. The one that's humbugging around and the Grinches that don't enjoy this time. But most people are very joyous and happy, and at least for a little while. I enjoy getting our Christmas invitations as we go around town and we invite people to come and say, I want to invite you to a special Christmas service at our church, a Christmas musical next Sunday night. I'll put a plug in for it again, all right? Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And many people are looking to go and do something extra for the holidays. And this is free on top of that, right? So amen, good. Free entertainment, but it's about the Savior. It's about the Savior. It's making known to everyone of the Savior. You know, God has given us a command and has given us instructions to tell everyone else about the Savior. Again, the Bible says that he came to his own and his own received him not. I think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a few months older than Jesus Christ, the cousin of Jesus Christ. The mothers were sisters, and John said this, I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. And he came to lift up the light of the Savior that would come to the world. That's our job today as well, to lift up that light. There are many examples that you see during the Christmas time of gifts and of the light and of sacrifice and different things of love that we give and peace and joy. But one of those is the light. You hang lights on the Christmas trees and on your house, and it's beautiful, and we enjoy taking our kids to go look at the lights and get the free candy canes at the barn and all the stuff that you do with that. But that's the light of the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that the Bible says has appeared to all men. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the light of the Savior that came to this world. And that light has come to you, that has come to me, and that light is one that we need to share with the rest of this world. As we finish this morning, do you have room for Jesus during the holiday time? Or are you too busy for God? Are you too busy? Do you ever kind of push God to the side and say, God, I'll get to you when I'm done with all my stuff today. I'm too busy today to get to Jesus. You should never be too busy for the Lord. He should get first place. Beginning of the day, most important, most of the time that we have, do you have room for Jesus in your heart? Do you have room for Jesus in your life? Do you have room for Jesus during this Christmas time? Let's make room. You know what? There's some things in our life we just need to push out. First of all, if it's sin, it doesn't need to be in there at all. That needs to be out completely. But there's other things that just seem to take the place to fill up a busy life that God never intended. That's not going to matter for eternity. Make big of Jesus. Make big of Jesus. heads bowed and eyes closed today. The Lord will not force his way into your life.